we can sit up here if we can, and we can all.
Up to the table if you'd like. I think we got nearly as best seats.
Why is it so loud?
Yeah.
Can you help me out with the technology here? Where's the volume control?
I have lost my glasses about a month ago, and I haven't gone around and got me another pair. But anything very far away, I can't see. I'm looking everywhere, because, I mean, I've had them for 10 years.
It doesn't seem to be doing anything.
And all I
do is driving.
Commissioner, may I help you?
Yes, we were expecting to have a phone conference with Bruce Davis, Randy Turley, and maybe someone else.
Okay. Just a moment, please.
Okay, thank you. Is that about the right volume, do you think? Those are speakers right there and another speaker right there. Not the microphones, but the little
ones here.
Little discs, okay. Yeah.
I don't think you need that in front of you, but if it takes the pressure off you, you might help you. You're more likely to back on. He's trying to set that back to you. I'm the quiet one. I know better.
What is your name for Mark Twain? I'm sorry.
Bruce Forrest.
Chris Forrest, Bob Paulson, nice to meet you. Everybody here knows
everybody else. Knows everybody else.
Hey, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Is there a Bob?
Yes, I am.
Okay, this is Bruce Davis. I'm here with Randy Turley. I think we're going to get Bob Everson as well.
That would be great. Why don't I, while I'm sitting here, I'll tell you that I've got Tim Crawley. From the Taneyville School Superintendent, Tim Taylor from Hollister. I've got Brent Blevins from Forsyth, Doug Heider from Branson, Carlos Osborne from Kirbyville, and Bruce Forrest from Mark Twain, all superintendents. I'm here. Chuck Pennell, our presiding commissioner, is sitting here. I think Danny Strahan will be joining us. And in our audience, we have the city clerk from Branson, the county clerk, and our assessor. So... you've got quite a crowd here, but we're waiting on, are we going to wait on Bob, or should we just get underway? I think Doug is the one that had the questions from Branson, and I'd just let him start off, I guess. Unless you have some...
Wait, say 20 seconds, I think he's en route.
Okay.
Bob doesn't move real fast.
While you're waiting, then I can ask everybody to make sure they get their estimate of required local taxes sheet to me. Kirbyville's done
that. Is there anyone who has it that you know of offhand?
We got a board meeting tonight.
Okay. Mine should have got to you.
Mine haven't been approved yet.
We're meeting in the morning, checked. So.
Okay. I may stop by and just Della brought it up.
Bruce? We record and put it on the internet. You don't have a problem. I mean, broadcast it on the internet, you don't have a problem with that, do you?
Went up slightly. Reassessment down, new construction up. Yeah.
It seems like he's on a call. It could be a couple minutes. You want to wait for that, or do you want to proceed?
Well, he may know more than anyone else, since he was the one who came down here, correct?
I think that's a valid statement.
Well, I didn't want to make the general statement.
Well, it's, I don't think you'll find us arguing that at that point.
So is anything going on in Jeff City that of interest?
Well, just town's abuzz with going to have a special election for a senator and a rep. That kind of took everybody by surprise.
Really? I hadn't...
Last week.
I hadn't heard that. What happened? I don't always read the paper.
Hello. Senator Smith and Representative Brown got indicted. Federal indictment had to do with a campaign back in, I think, 2004 or something, a congressional. And anyway, both of them resigned their seats this week.
Wow.
So, it kind of hit last week, so then everybody was screwing around to figure out what's the next move. And the governor's already has announced this special election in November to fill those seats. So that was expected. All right. Bob has arrived, so.
All right.
Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think the first question, anyway, had to do with the assessment maintenance plan and specifically paragraph 9, but I'll let Superintendent Heider begin, I guess.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right.
Hey, we have, of course, area superintendents, and I think our purpose for being here today is twofold. One is first just to listen and hopefully learn, and then second, if needed and or possible, to maybe share some information with our commissioners and others about how this can affect us, because we're the ones most affected. So I guess my first question, and certainly my colleagues are here and can jump in at any time, is could you just describe for us the agreement that you've reached, the assessment maintenance plan, kind of generally how that works and what you're doing, so we kind of have a good feel and can go back to our boards and kind of share what that process is going to be?
What we have is an agreement for the balance of the year, and that is that our people will come in and going to work with James in the assessor's office, go out and do field review. We have a lot of sales of newly constructed property within the last 3 years. We'll be going out. In fact, I think James went out with our people. We were there for a full week. So basically, the first phase of that is going to be looking at data, looking at the integrity of what's there, and then proceed from then on. We will be entering into a two-year assessment maintenance plan at the end of this year. So this is kind of a conduit to get to the next two-year plan, and it's also a mechanism to get funding to the county.
Okay.
About all I can add is we have been down there working the previous 2 weeks, and our field staff is trying to wrap it up this week. In fact, I believe we're in there today trying to wrap up this initial review of approximately 500 sales of homes built in the last 4 or 5 years. As Bruce says, once we get that review completed and analyze what we found, we'll be making some conclusions and recommendations to the county for the next assessment.
Bob, Jennifer Tidwell, the other commissioner, has arrived just
great.
For knowledge.
Great.
Just a follow-up question then, and of course you guys deal with this every day, but typically, obviously, there's no reassessment in even-numbered years statutorily. So I guess my next question is then, and I spoke to Maureen Monahan a week or two ago. I talked to her a little bit about this, but are you planning or are you anticipating that that would be an anomaly and that there would be a reassessment in 2010?
Well, it's premature now on what's going to take place in 2010. Anomaly somewhat, however, we have ordered reassessment in the even years. So it has happened. It doesn't happen very often. But I would assume that we have done it probably 4 or 5 times during the course of the last 10 years.
Okay. Well, obviously, at least I'm just going to speak from our perspective because we, of course, have a lot of the assessed value in the county. You know, it could be good or bad, and I know we don't know what that would be. Obviously, in a down economy, if there is some reassessment, and if there is any CPI growth, you know, if it's at zero, then we're going to get a rollback with no help, or it might stabilize. So it could be good or bad, depending upon what would happen in 2010, in a year when typically that's something we don't have to worry about. So, you know, that's the angle that I was thinking about. And there's no way to know. Now, my guess is that because we've entered into a plan, the general feeling, at least my perspective, would be you think that it might, some assessments might go up, but I know, again, that's just conjecture on my part. So I guess that's a concern, or could be a concern, that we share, that what's going to happen if there is a reassessment, if there's a 0.1% CPI growth like there was this past year, you know, it could hurt us at a time when typically we don't get hurt in an even-numbered year.
Yeah, keep in mind that that even if there is a reassessment order for 2010, it's based upon economic conditions as of January 1, 2009. That's the lien date. Hey, has the auditor weighed in on if we actually have negative CPI?
You know, I've not seen that. I don't know if anybody else has. I've not seen that data lately since the last one was certified for this year's state auditor forms.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, we're the ones actually certified. It was at point one. I just wondered if anybody, if it actually goes below zero CPI, if there's a floor on that. I mean, I was just.
Yeah, there is a
floor. I didn't call the auditor's office because I don't think anybody ever anticipated that there'd be flat CPI.
There is a ceiling at zero. It's the lesser of three for others in the room, but it's the lesser of 5%, your actual growth, or the CPI, and it can be no less than zero.
Okay. That answers that then.
So, Bob Paulson and I visited the other day, and I had the question, would it be a 09 values, which Bruce has just mentioned? Does that help your feelings any as far as, since we're not, I'm not hearing that you're getting a definite answer whether there is or there isn't going to be a reassessment. But he's saying if there is, it's going to be at 09, January 09 values.
Well, a lot of that, I guess, would depend on the CPI. If we did a 2010 reassessment, which I know you're saying may or may not happen, would you certify a new CPI, I guess, based on the same timeline as last year, like you do every year? I guess that would be the case, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we certify every year regardless.
Yeah.
But why?
Because there has been some reassessment growth that does take place somehow. I mean, in the utopia, it's really not supposed to happen even number of year, but we are required by statute every year to certify a CPI.
But if it is as of January 1st, 2009, why wouldn't the CPI from this year apply rather than a CPI from next year, since January 1st, 2009 is the applicable day?
Well, that's where the auditor would have to weigh in, because I don't want to talk for them, but I would think that if there's reassessment growth that takes place in the even number of years, that would be the amount that's applied. But once again, the auditor's office, you know, when you get into levies, you get outside of our bailiwick. So,
but would it really be growth in the even numbered year? If you're using the January 1st, 2009, it wouldn't be growth in the even numbered year. It would be a reassessment that, I guess, reanalyzed the figures as of January 1st, 2009 and came to a different result. Isn't that?
You could look at it that way. I don't know. I mean, that's not for us to determine.
Well, I know if the schools made that case, we wouldn't get very far. We'd probably be ran out of the room. So, you know, I think it depends on the angle that you take with that. And, you know, the other thing being, I guess we're thinking worst case and hoping for the best. But if you look back, and let's say that your determination is, and I've always had a good relationship with our assessor. I think he's always been very square with me. And when we've talked, you know, my point to him is all we want is fair assessment, whatever that is. And he's always been very forthright and gotten information to me in a timely manner. But let's just say that the determination is that for some reason that those need to be raised. You know, if they should have been raised earlier according to what the determination is, then we could lose out on two counts, not only not having it then, and then also possibly depending on how it worked out, if there's a low CPI or if we have to do reassessment with no growth. So, you know, we're just trying to cover all the angles and just make sure that everyone understands how it could impact us if certain things happen.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that you weigh in with the auditors, but I can't fathom that if there's a reassessment that's ordered in the even number year and the CPI is, say, it's flat, that there wouldn't be a required rollback.
Oh, there definitely would be a required rollback. And that was the point I was trying to make, that, you know, we live off of the consumer price index, obviously, with any reassessment, because that's the only part of that we get to keep. So if it's a zero, we're going to roll back, and it's going to be revenue neutral as far as our school district is concerned, so we're not going to gain anything. And again, we wouldn't know if that'd be the case or not until the actual numbers came in and the calculation was done. And again, you know, I'm not here proposing that we get our cake and eat it too, because this is a big picture and we've all got to work together toward it. I guess I just want to make sure that the commissioners and others understand how this can impact us as school districts, depending on what, you know, what is done and how it comes out. And that was kind of our purpose today. Again, not only to educate, but to be educated so we understood how it worked and they can understand from our perspective how it works for us.
Yeah, I mean, we will certify a CPA as the one that's available as of February 1 of 2010 for the previous year.
Right. I assume that would be the case, just like, of course, we always fill out every year. So, okay, that I appreciate that.
When will a determination be made if a reassessment will take place?
That was Dr. Taylor, by the way.
Okay. Well, I'll defer to Bob Everson.
And I honestly don't have an answer for that question. It's going to be a long process. We're in the initial stages of it now. We have to figure out what's going on down there. I honestly can't give you an answer on the time frame.
I mean, keep in mind, Bob's only been down there for about a week, week and a half. He's working on developing some type of parameters. So I can't fathom that you know, it's going to be months down the line where everything is squared away, and then I assume that there's going to be a parcel by parcel review and then a follow up review subsequent to that. So the timing of that at this point, it'd be conjecture, and I don't think we
want to
get into that.
If we do a reassessment, and this is getting onto a different topic, and I apologize, but if we do a reassessment, it will be an assessor reassessment, even if it's ordered by you, so we'd still have to go through BOE. They wouldn't be state tax commission figures that BOE couldn't adjust, so we'd have to go through BOE again next year. Is that right?
Yes. So you have the same process. Now, we have depending upon the time of ordering reassessment, I'm looking around you, we have ordered the Board of Equalization and the assessor to conduct reassessments in the even number year. So we're looking at the assessment program in a holistic manner, in a whole.
So even if that was ordered, then what I think I'm hearing you say is, the next year, if Assessor Strahan would come in with certain reassessment numbers, that the Board of Equalization could still make a determination on those and possibly decrease them if they so chose?
Certainly.
You said something about the BOE doing a reassessment. Did I hear that right? What did you mean by that?
Well, I said some of our orders have been to the county, not only the assessor, but the Board of Equalization. Sometimes we have done a reassessment the even number year after the subsequent to the assessor turning the books over. So the order may incorporate both the assessor's office and the Board of Equalization.
And if the Board of Equalization, this is Danny Strahan, the county commissioner, the Board of Equalization is ordered to do reassessment and they... when it reassessed and it wasn't to the satisfaction of the state tax commission, the process at that point is no different than what it is now, right?
Yeah, that's true. And we don't want to get into a what if.
Well, I'm not getting into a what if. What I'm asking is if we reach that point, have we accomplished anything? If there's five members of the board and there's a 3-2 vote on issues and we have a vote that does not satisfy the state tax commission, but we've been ordered to reassess, then what has been accomplished?
I guess what he's pointing out is sometimes there's difficulty with the Board of Equalization.
and the members, and they may do something that doesn't please you, even if the assessor has pleased you. When you do the reassessment, is it both doing the reassessment and anyway?
I mean, once again, this is a lot of hypotheticals and what ifs, and I don't think we want to go there. I think the best case scenario, if in case there would be a reassessment in the even years, that we have the adequate time to go in, and the assessor does the possible review. We review that data and go from there. I mean, what we'd like to have it is like a normal cycle. Like a normal reassessment year would be, where the assessor goes out there, conducts the work, then the Board of Equalization reviews that. I mean, that would be the best case scenario.
The date restraint, is that being considered as far as the amount of time that you're going to give the assessor and his group to work, and then the BOE to come in and have everyone that came in this year come back in before the board and go through how are we going to do a timeline, and you guys do the February, your February date that you have to meet as far as the schools, and I heard Dr. Hyder say that, then how is a timeline going to be an essential factor in the decision making of the State Tax Commission on what they're going to do with Taney County?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking, Danny, but I'll take a stab at it. The February 1 is just the CPI. And I don't think 7-Eleven time restraint is as far as doing a liability, a tax liability notice comes into play. Obviously, timing is going to take place in all this and seeing what can and can't be done. But at this point in time, we have no idea what is going to have to take place. I mean, we're just in the initial stage of our people being in there. So anything we do now would be pure speculation.
This is Doug Hyder again. Now, my understanding is that Senate Bill 711 will not affect Taney County until 2011, which is going
That's
to put
correct.
Yeah, it's going to push some timelines back, but then, so we've talked with our county clerk and assessor, you know, we're going to have to put out the proposed tax rate earlier, which I know is going to push them. And then some timelines are, I believe the Board of Equalization, isn't it not going to be pushed back a little bit when that goes into effect?
No, actually, this year the board was under 7-Eleven provisions.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so was the assessor as far as turning over his books July 1, which is a change. The 7-Eleven provisions that haven't taken into effect is the projected tax liability, where the assessor has to come up by March 1 with a tentative assessment roll, and they provide that to political subdivisions. Political subdivisions do some calculations to determine what the levy might be, and then the assessor, when they send out the impact notices, accompanying that as a projected tax liability, where the school would put in, based upon the information we have now, this is what our levy would look like, so that when an individual receives that, they have an idea of what their tax liability will be at the end of the year.
Okay,
yeah. That kicks in 2011. But as far as the timetable of the board and the assessor taking over his books to the Board of Equalization and to the clerk, those were all in effect this year.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that clarification.
Are there any required guidelines on the estimate when it comes from the taxing entity? This is Bob Paulson again. Say you get your information from the assessor and say you just use the levy from the year before, which isn't going to be exactly accurate. I mean, are there any penalties in the guidelines or any regulations that penalize you for being a little bit off with your estimate? How close do you have to be with your estimate?
There's no penalties as far as what your estimate is going to be. I think the only penalty that's in there is that as a political subdivision, you do not supply it in a timely manner. And then I think there is some pretty severe penalties on then what you can actually levy. But But if you mess up on the projection, there's no penalty in there.
So as long as you get it in, you're fine.
That's correct. That's my understanding, Randy.
Yeah, that's bad. But there is, they don't allow you to use last year's. I mean, there are instructions how to calculate that levy, and you use last year's state assessed property and that sort of thing. But you're supposed to use the current year's assessed value.
And use previous year's personal property.
Yeah, previous year's personal property.
So there might there going to be a new form probably from that come through the state auditor's office then probably.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. That's good. We need another form to fill out.
Yeah, there you go.
Anybody have anything else?
Anybody else has any questions or not?
I don't think anybody has any other questions. Unless you have some incredible wisdom that you want to impart on us, I think we might call it to a close.
It's fine. Look around, Jennifer. Anything? All right. Well, we're always available. Give us a call if you've got any questions.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
All right.
Bye.
Other things?
Guys, you have any questions? I mean, that really helps. I think our, again, objective was just to kind of understand how it was going to work because we really hadn't sat down. That really helps us kind of go back to our boards and share what the thinking is, what's going to happen, what the time. Because you know how, I know you find it hard to believe that stories might get started in Taney County, but
really?
Sometimes they do. So.
But the being 09 values, that does help you a little bit.
I would say that it does, and I would say they're going to, I'd say, by statute, I think we're going to have to use the February 1, 2010 CPI because we have to use it now in the state auditor's form. So I don't see that changing. I'd be shocked, which may be worse or better. Who knows? I haven't seen one lately to know what it's doing right now. Of course, it can't get much worse than 0.1%. But yeah, we can't go any lower than zero. So.
The only problem might be if they have some later data that they use to determine the January 1st, 2009 values that caused the values to go down somewhat as of January 1st, 2009.
Right. I mean, that's what I think they're looking for. I think that there would be no need for reassessment 2010 unless they were looking for data that would lower or raise the assessed value. And that's what they're looking for. There'd be no reason to. If we're going to use 2009 data, why would you even go through this process? Exactly what they said on there, that they were going to use 2009 data. Why would you even go through this process and we have that data? We've already filled it out. We've already did. The Board of Equalization has already seen through, made their decision. That's the reason I wanted to ask the question about the order to the Board of Equalization. They're going to order the assessor to do things, and they're going to order the Board of Equalization to do things. Now, why, if you're not going to use the 2009 data that we've already accomplished, we've already filled out, would you have this situation? Now, that's the question I have for you. If you can help me figure that out, I'd like to know, because I can't figure it out.
Well, see, my assumption, Danny, was the opposite. That they're saying, well, you guys aren't high enough, especially in older residential homes, so we're gonna find some proof that they need to be raised. I mean, that was just the impression I got from listening, which is crazy because, you know, James does his work, and then they appeal it, and they give him every appeal, which I know there's evidence to be submitted, but I haven't quite understood how that works either. You know, they're saying, on one hand, you're not high enough, and then everybody goes up there, they automatically lower them, so that confuses me a little bit too.
That doesn't affect. I mean, that's not anything that James is doing. That's the Board of Equalization,
right?
That changes it. But it's James that gets in the ringer with the State Tax Commission over what the Board of Equalization did. I mean, that's how I see it.
Yes.
Maybe oversimplification, but
monies are withheld not from what the Board of Equalization does, but what the assessor does.
Correct.
So they turn around and use that as their scapegoat, because they do not take what the Board of Equalization has presented forward, which is the final numbers, and they throw it on the assessor. No, no matter who the assessor might be, that's the way they're going to try to proceed.
Are you gentlemen thinking about what kind of, and the state's not on the phone, right?
Correct.
What kind of lawsuit you're fixing to drag yourself into based on the Hancock Amendment of raising an individual's taxes in the even numbered year if your levy changes? And you will be the ones responsible.
If the values go down and they increase their levy.
They've already paid a tax bill in 09. The old time tax bill will be paid. And they say they're going to base this information off of January 1/09. So you've increased their taxes in the even numbered year based on the odd numbered year.
Now see, that's an understatement. I didn't understand.
Right.
And you're actually pulling yourself into a huge Hancock Amendment lawsuit.
And we've got good reserves.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm saying we've got good reserves. We'll fight it.
But that's where they're dragging you in.
Because it wasn't our fault either.
We don't want to reassess.
It wasn't your fault, but I'm saying we're just not going to cave because we're scared of that. We're going to run the forms, and we're going to assess what's, or we're going to levy what's fair. If they want to fight it, then we'll go to court with them.
Dr. Hyder, would you care to request from the State Tax Commission the written orders they issued counties to do the even-numbered year? Would you?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind to see that.
I wouldn't mind to see those either.
You know, he said it was an anomaly, and then he said, well, only a few times in 10 years. So
Four or five times.
Yeah.
Four or five times.
And I'd like to see those orders because I know it's come from pressure. No written order went down. But I'd like, would you mind requesting
that? No, I don't mind.
We wouldn't have a choice. We would have to fill out those forms and base our levy on what the State Tax Commission told us to do. So
the only
and it'd have to be.
We can file. We can violate
have to sue
the law
someone else.
Like
yes, sue the State Tax Commission
too,
or sue you and the State Tax Commission.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's some reason they don't want to go use January 1, 2010, and if they're so free from the law to issue a 2010 reassessment, why are they not jumping their reassessment numbers up to January 1, 2010? Because they're dragging you guys into a Hancock battle.
Well, I think all they're doing is a reassessment of the values on January 1st, 2009, is what he said. So they're looking for values either to go up or to go down, and basically realign the values that you have set that will affect the public in 2010 because they can't affect them in 2009 because that assessment's already been done.
And the taxpayer is going to have a paid tax bill.
Yeah, that's
on that.
You've got a reassessed bill.
On 2009, they can't change the 2009 bill. They can only change the 2010.
Bobby's going to have a 2010. He's going to have a 2010 tax bill that's come out of this. That's the reason I asked about the time frame. You can't get all this done and completed.
The 2010 tax bills don't go out until when?
September of
10.
We got a 2009 paid tax bill that is incorrect according to the reassessment of 2010.
But that's under the bridge at that point. They're not going to tamper with that. They're not going to tell the people you have to come in and pay a different amount of tax for 09. They're going to say based on the 09 values, your tax assessment and the levy have changed for 2010. And then when you do your levy in 011, you've done it on the odd numbered year. If they do that, there's not any assurance that they're even going to do
it. Maureen Monahan told me, she said, I think it's unlikely they'll do a reassessment in 2010.
Well, the two-year plan's over, Dr. Hyder. You heard him say we're going into another plan next month.
And Randy Turley told me the same thing, but he said no guarantees, but right. He didn't think they'd be doing a reassessment in the even-numbered year.
Well, I guess I'll just speak for me, but, I mean, it is going to be hard for these folks, for our county clerk and for our assessor, because that timeline, I mean, they only have so many people to do the work. I guess my thought to James would be all I'm expecting is, hey, whatever you have at that point that you've been able to do correctly, give to us. We'll meet the statute and just take your time and do it right. And when you get it, from my perspective.
And the cost to the Taney County citizen on that, each one of those departments have to have a budget that has to be increased. More people are going to have to work with more staff. I mean, there's no way that you can ask and demand twice as much work
and have the same staff.
I agree. That's a problem with 7-Eleven. The timeline is not realistic to do your best job.
I've got a question that I've never really been able to get answered. Who benefits from, who's benefiting from reassessment? I mean, is somebody getting more tax dollars someplace because the numbers have gone up?
The only thing that could happen is that the tax burden get realigned for 1 year. If some people are too low with their assessment and they get it raised up, their taxes will go up when you multiply their assessment by their levy rate. And if they pay more taxes, somebody else may pay less. So it'll reapportion the taxes among the people paying the taxes. It may advantage some and disadvantage others, but according to the State Tax Commission, it'll make it more equitable and fair, and they'll be paying the right amount. So nobody will really be benefited as far as the taxing entities. You'll still get the same amount of money. It's just that who's paying it may change proportionately.
The only other thing would be your total assessed valuation, which affects your bonding capacity,
right,
depending on how it rolls back. But
Mike, when I was looking at the ten percent my assessed valuation in my district. So my levy had dropped, so there was no benefit to me, and that's why I'm just wondering. So it's just the way it's redistributed.
10% and a 0.1% CPI year doesn't help a lot.
Well, and for you and I, we're on the small schools grant. Kirbyville doesn't qualify. I think we're the only one. So if it drops us below the 343, which is what we run, then there's a chunk of money that all of a sudden we no longer qualify for. You know, if we were forced to roll back below that, there's $86,000 from the state that we just no longer qualify for because the reassessment has caused us possibly, or Board of Equalization, whatever, to go below the 343. We can't check that little box on the form. We don't qualify for that money. And so that's a concern that we look at, and we're fine this year, but you know, it's a gamble every year.
I hadn't thought about that, but you could get hurt in 10.
I could get hurt in 10.
If they get a reassessment and force them to do it.
Right. You know, you say that could have
had a vote. Yeah. You could have had a vote of the people if you'd known that this was going to happen. And,
right.
And
I hadn't thought about that.
Well, I went from 350 down to 315. But that 343 number that we're talking about, they tell me that I'm still going to qualify for the small schools grant this year. But they're going to figure it out in 343 instead of the 350. So I have lost money.
So he's lost money.
I've lost that 7 cents.
So what do you? What does that do to the schools and their benefits to their faculty, to the career ladder proposals, all the other things that are enter into this situation that are unforeseen by the State Tax Commission, other than the people that actually deal with the problems, which is the county and yourselves? What does that do? Do you eliminate your career ladder, or do you cut it in half, or do you...
That's
using that particular...
State's not going to fund career ladder this year at all.
That's just where I'm going with... Yeah. So they start eliminating things that makes your educational program work at a higher level. They slowly go to eating into those things.
Right.
Am I right or wrong?
Well... Right. One thing, Denny, if for some reason I lose that small schools grant next year, which we got it this year, I forget which House bill saved us. Bruce, can you remember?
I don't.
121 is what I thought. But if for some reason next year we don't get that saving grace, we lose that. And that's three positions. I mean, that's just what it is. It's three certified positions that we'll get rid of.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to reduce those three positions or that amount of money somewhere else. And... you know, with our state guarantee not changing over the last 7 years, 8 years, but the cost of everything is going up, you know, so your money's not going as far. We're already cutting positions and cutting, say, the frills. Prop C money's down, obviously, and so that's cut us. I mean,
you know, having served on the school board for six years, I understand that whenever the state doesn't participate, then pretty soon you end up in a situation to where you're either cutting... Somewhere. Now, somewhere you're cutting off educational either projects, which are voted on, but you're cutting off the career ladder came in whenever I was on the board. So that's how long I've been there. So you're cutting all those programs out, which are beneficial to the teaching staff, your whole school system.
I mean, we're at that point. If we lose it, I mean, like I said, it's going to be the equivalency of cutting $86,000 out of salary and benefits, because there's not other places to cut it. And so, you know, you just figure out where the
classroom
best
sizes.
Place to cut that. Classroom sizes more likely will go up. Or
now, do you get? Do you have a deduction now for reaching over a classroom size, or do you have to make that classroom size a certain size? If you lost three personnel,
right,
then what does that put you on qualifying for other funding?
Right. My classroom size for me right now is well under what the recommended amounts are.
That's the case for everybody.
But there's some people in the, I know that are larger, so, yeah. I mean,
most of your larger schools are going to be closer to that number. You have a desired number and then a maximum number you can have based upon MSIP standards. And when you go through these MSIP, like this is your four, you get basically the State Department comes in, grades your system, and you're above that, then you do not meet the required numbers and you get written up by the state. The convention cost, I mean, the penalties would be dollars.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I don't think State Tax Commission understands. Where they're dealing with personal lives and school systems and any entity that those dollars get to. You could go right down to your fire departments. Every taxing entity is going to be affected by these decisions that they're sending down to us. And they can talk about the equality of the whole thing all they want to, but it's not. It doesn't reach that point. They start affecting lives, yours, mine, and everybody else that lives in this county.
Yeah. There's always ancillary.
But they don't understand that because they're sitting up there and we're sitting down here, and then whenever we ask a question, how many times when you ask a question today did you receive the answer, "Oh, we haven't considered that because we haven't talked to the auditor yet"? You understand? And then, or we haven't talked to this one yet. So that's the way they dodge us as we approach them as a county commission. I'm glad that you're here today to understand, as we approach them as a county commission, and as we've met with them as a county commission and the assessor to try to work these things out, and we sit down in a meeting, and most of them don't last this long because they will find some excuse to say, "Oh, we haven't checked with so-and-so yet. Or we haven't really considered that until 2010 or 2000, you know." So that's the kind of answers we get from them. So I'm glad that you're here to understand when you talk to them on the phone. That has to be considered by the auditor. The cities, I see the mayor back there, they're going to be greatly affected by this also. So... It's a difficult situation, especially when we sit on the boards and we try to make decisions and we can't get the answers. But they want us to do something. They want to issue an order for you to do it, but still yet they'll demand of you that you do something. But they can't give you that answer because they haven't checked with somebody that they need to talk to. I'm glad you're here just to witness what we have to go through on that. And I know you guys sit in school board meetings and try to figure out your own budgets and everything, but we're trying to work for everybody as a whole. So,
Doesn't look like we know whether they're going to implement paragraph 9 and do the, as you said, they didn't say whether they're going to do the reassessment or not. Hopefully they won't. And don't have to worry about it until 2011. But if they do, I think we heard what the possible consequences are. Didn't know about the 343 and how to take care.
It doesn't affect very many people in this room, but it affects a couple of us. And you know, we worked a lot with the auditor's office last year. I don't want to use the word manipulating numbers, but making sure that our numbers were right, and we were doing everything we could so that we could run the 343 last year because it became our ceiling to allow us to run it this year.
Did what he said about the 315 and still being able to be at 343, would that maybe help you somehow to at least stay at the 343?
Well,
what you're wondering is if they're going to next year look at next year. 315.
Exactly. See, what they did
like 350 from last year,
was in the Appropriations Committee through the House, and I think Maynard Wallace was involved in it, but I don't know. Someone made a provision in there saying that we know because of the economy that assessments go down, but if it causes you to have to roll back below 343 and you qualified for it this year, you will still be allowed to qualify, but only at the base, which is what Bruce was saying, 343. On the part of that small schools grant allows you to have a multiplier. If you're at 343, you get it, and if you're above 343, you multiply by the higher amount that you are above 343.
So the higher you are above 343, the more money
you get.
And so I lost 7 cents this year.
Right.
And may lose the whole thing.
Which I'm right at 343, so I don't get any of the additional because I'm not above
it. And you didn't gain that much by getting the 10% bump because you only get
0.1%. It'll actually lose money in the situation. Yeah. I stay about the same. So it washes with you. Pretty much it's a wash, yeah.
I went back and looked at CPI for 30 years. I mean, this is an anomaly. It's never been 0.1.
Correct.
The lowest I could find was 1.4, and the last five-year average was like 3.2.
Correct.
So, I mean, it was crazy. It just happened. With the, you know, we all know how the economy is, but it does have an impact. There's no question.
I'm curious. Bruce has mentioned how the BOE decision, final thing, how does it affect you? Y'all come out on.
We would have went up 0.0021 after I got the facts in, but we had already did our tax rate hearing a little earlier. I know most of you are now waiting till the very end of the month to hold that, but you know, we hope it's just a little, but not enough to go back and do that.
Well, commitments that we made to our community that, you know, because I had a ceiling at 355, but we had committed we'd roll back to 343. So
now what are you going to roll back to, do you know?
We're at 343. So
you roll back anyway. You
I would have rolled back anyway. It affected that I had less of a ceiling, but we had, for lack of a better word, built in a little bit of cushion there with the commitment to our community. We were going to roll back to that.
You know? So you rolled back despite the fact that it meant less money than before that, but what did you lose at the 343?
I stayed pretty flat.
Okay, so it didn't hurt you, BOE, 50% of the increase?
There wasn't a lot of Taneyville stuff in the BOE. I mean, it really didn't have a huge effect on Taneyville. So, but that's, you know, you look at what we're assessing primarily farmland. I don't have, my commercial property is very, 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 very minute.
And it was so, Branson that was hit the hardest.
Branson and Forsyth and Hollister, I think, would all three be the areas that would really be hit the hardest.
What about Forsyth?
We actually rolled back our operating levy from 333 to 332, so it just caused us to roll back about a penny out of our operating levy.
What about Hollister?
We rolled back 4 cents. It cost us about $75,000.
I think the biggest thing that I'm hearing from everyone is that in a year where we probably need to have a little bit of growth, there's no growth. You know, we're operating on, you know, same dollars.
Well, anybody can rely on any growth in 2011, that's for sure.
There's just not looking to be any growth, but our expenditures are going to grow just because the cost of things are continuing to increase.
The only growth you're having is towns.
Yeah. Well, which
yeah, so that's last that year creates the problem.
That's what hurt us last year. Last year we had a 16% decrease in enrollment, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
See, the reassessment was basically revenue neutral.
Correct.
Because you're only multiplying by basically zero. So I didn't say too much about it because really the amount of money that we got, I mean, our levy just fluctuated. If you left it where it was, we'd been at 310 and gotten a certain amount on a higher assessed valuation. It just kind of, it ended up about a nickel. Now, if the CPI had been 4%, it kicked us because we'd have lost 4% of all that assessment. But since it was non-existent, it really wasn't a factor at this time. And we got enough new construction, which you always like new construction because it's pulled out of the formula before you roll back. So we only went back, much like Hollister, about between 4 cents and a nickel. See, before we raised our levy in 07, we were at 275, so we didn't pay as much attention because we knew we were going to be at 275 no matter what happened. But
So you got a 2-year cycle, you're going to lose, he said $75,000 there, so you got $150,000 bucks less to operate with. On the large scale, the $150,000 bucks is
two teacher positions,
two
maybe,
teacher positions,
or one and a half.
Probably four on my salary scale.
Well, it'd be two with the benefits, probably, and then elimination of the career ladder, which I don't know what that does to you now that it's been in process for so long. Is it a
some have career ladders.
Yeah, we don't have it. These guys that have it could probably speak to that. Right.
Well, and what we did, you know, career ladders always been paid in the rears, which, you know, you don't get your money until the next year's budget.
Yeah.
And they say they're not going to do that anymore, though there is a chance that they might, which, you know, gives you.
Some of them have already started this summer paying that. They don't come through.
It's doubtful.
Imagine the flood of emails from teachers.
Right.
It's doubtful they're even going to fund the career ladder this
what
year.
What we chose to do as a district is we're going to pay our amount. You know, the portion that our school is going to pay, we're going to pay them. But, you know, when you're a 90-10 teacher, which the state paid 90% of it, and we were paying 10.
That's what the legislators told me.
I have two teachers left that were 90-10. But, you know, we're a district. We're 40, 60-40. And, you know, we're going to pay our portion.
For one example, I mean, there's lots of other things I know you have to deal with that I don't know. So I just using that for an example.
Well, our penny of tax rate for us, the RSS value is about $650 million. So that's 65,000 times 4 cents. That's $250,000.
Yeah.
But that's what you've lost if you could have kept it up.
Yeah,
if you could have kept it.
But you're still revenue neutral.
That's right.
That's like where I am. I think I'm down $1,500 this year from last year. That's what I've got figured.
Right.
So it's supposed to be revenue neutral.
So we're all working on, you know, we're all working together, and we're all working on the same type of scale. We're going to have to look at it as putting the pressure and lowering on certain areas that we've had the benefit of for years. So you're going to have to do the same thing. And what we're trying to do is limit the damage.
What the county's going to have to worry about is that new Supreme Court decision on sales tax.
What's that?
There's a new Supreme Court decision that starting September 1, they're not going to be able to collect sales tax for internet generated sales of shows. So probably maybe might be as much as a 30% bump downward in the sales tax revenues regarding shows. So it'll negatively affect the sales tax coming in. And it's a Supreme Court decision, so.
What kind of shows are you talking about? Movies?
Theaters?
Theaters.
Yeah. Silver Dollar City, for Whitewater. And
so they're going to cut tourism tax $7 million this next year and then go ahead
and take the sales tax away, too.
Take the sales tax away. Frankly,
it's sold online.
Now, what is that?
It's going to get interesting.
Yeah.
So if you buy your ticket across the internet, you don't pay sales tax, but if you walk up to the gate and pay for it, you pay sales tax?
Yeah, that's kind of what the decision says. If you do it by phone, you pay, but internet, you don't.
The other thing, too, is, you know, as we move forward, and Danny, you were talking about the economy, but, you know, if we look at bringing industry in, and is Mayor Pearson back here? Lisa's here, but, you know, just to continue for all of us to work together, and as Danny said, you know, you got the tourism tax, we've got tax financing district, that's almost $60 million, I think it's 55 this year, in assessment for us, so, you know, that's between $1.5 and $2 million right there, even if we got half of that. I know that's a whole other issue, but I guess...
we have to think about them all.
Yeah, but my comment is, you said it, we got to all work together, mm-hmm. the county, the schools, and just all sit down, because some of those things are good things, but we just have to all give and take a little, and I think we've got the people in place now to do that, the city level, the county, and you know, if we do that, we can all win, and all give a little and all win some, so I think that's an important thing, too, as we go into the future.
2010 reassessment will show you another increase, and will show you another reduction.
I think it will too.
The Board of Equalization vote was we know the assessor is correct, we feel like that was too much in 1 year. We want to spread it out over 2 years. The information from January 1, 2009 provided our board, and that's what they said they was going to use, shows that that increase will have to be added in 10.
Right.
In 11, it will not, because it will be water over the bridge. But you will see another increase in 2010 under reassessment 2010.
Right.
That is going to harm you
a
lot more severely than this harms you.
Depending on the CPI.
It'll eat the CPI up.
If it eats the CPI is down, non-existent, you're right. It'll be a kicker in a time when usually you don't have to worry about that.
You bet.
Right.
But it will show an increase because the information's already been provided our BOE that the assessor was 98% on what they moved.
That'd be my conjecture, too. It'll go up.
And so they're going to raise the older residential in the 2010, but supposedly there's an inequity there. So that's an increase, plus the increase back to what
the
information provided. You're going to have to roll way back.
They said that when we were up at the State Task Commission, that if you want to equalize, you don't lower down those who are at 100% down to the ones that are 80%. You raise the ones that are 80% up, and that's their policy, and they're going to raise those up. So there's no way you're going to have a decrease. You're going to have an increase.
When will we know what that amount or have an idea what that amount will be? Because, I mean, some districts might want to put a levy issue for operating levy on a ballot, but if you don't know it in enough time to get it on the ballot,
that year
it's not going to be effective.
So that would have been a good question for those gentlemen.
So I guess that's
phone.
A question I have for them. You know, if you know it in February,
regular side.
You know,
they gave you the answer that they don't know.
Yeah,
because we asked that.
Won't know
they didn't
it.
Know.
But, you know, if you know in February, you run it as an April issue, and you're fine to run it for that following year.
And you find people that have been highly supportive of school taxes, and every tax that comes forward, been highly supportive that have backed off of that.
Right.
And so it puts an increased burden on the school systems. That everything that's asked for in a tax now is a gamble.
It is. And, it's just the environment in which we live.
In which we live. For all of us. So, anyway, I'm glad you gentlemen came forward today and we listened to, and you got to hear just a little bit of what we hear. I don't know whether you know a whole lot more than what you did before the phone call, but you have to grasp what they say that they're going to refer to before they can give you an answer, and that's what we deal with when we meet with them. And sometimes the meetings have lasted a lot less time than that we've had, because you don't have anything else to, you know, you can ask question after question, but you can't get an answer, so you just the meeting.
Sounds like, you know, I always get good response from the state auditor's office. I think we could call up there and probably get
more of an answer.
I think Becky Webb probably could give you a pretty good answer on some of those questions.
Well, nobody has anything else.
Brett's taking something.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys being with us.
It wasn't more helpful.
No, I think at least we know where everything stands. That helps.
How long has it been? Wait another week.
I think the worst thing I've ever had to do is send out three.
Things going well.
Oh, it's terrible.
I know you were frustrated.